And now it's time for the Friday Newscap and some voices from the news this week.
Home of the Grand Canyon, home of World War II heroes, the Navajo Code Talkers. And thanks to our excellent president, the land of growing opportunity zones, economic security, law and order, education choice, where unborn babies matter.
Seeing those real people is what America's crying out for. They don't want to see politicians that they've seen for 50 years, or 47 in Joe Biden's case, up there lecturing to them, reading off a teleprompter. They don't want to see condescending, arrogant celebrities belittling them for their belief in faith, family, and freedom.
When you see Donald Trump, you know, as a candidate, it was bad enough to say, hey, our elections are going to be rigged. But when you're the president of the United States and you say that, then that does real severe long-term damage, or it can, to the country. So, yeah, it's a problem, and that's one reason I support Joe Biden.
We've seen racial protests for the last, 6 years in Milwaukee, starting with the death of Dontre Hamilton. You know, it just seems like it would make a lot of sense, given that the Bucks were the team to start the protest, that everything could start in the state of Wisconsin. But I would love to see, you know, things get better nationally. This has been a tough, traumatic summer.
Now with us to talk about the Republican National Convention, sports-related racial justice walkouts, and more are Matt Benson of Veritas. Matt, good morning.
Good morning.
And Andre Cherney, former chair of the Arizona Democratic Party. Andre, thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Guys, let's start off briefly. Matt, let me go to you on, we just had our conversation with Dr. Kara Crist. What do you make of where we're at right now as Maricopa County moves toward more moderate easing? We've reached some of the benchmarks. Good momentum, but how do we keep it there?
Yeah, it's really, really good news to start with. Seeing hospitalizations, case positivity, and other benchmarks hitting levels that we haven't seen since May, in some cases even April. So that's fantastic. I think the key to keeping that momentum is mask wearing, first and foremost. I mean, I think all the measures made an impact. Certainly the closure of bars made a significant impact. But seeing Arizona go to more universal mask wearing in public, I think has made the biggest difference. And I think is going to be the key to keeping these numbers down as the economy begins to reopen more.
Andre, how do we keep people more engaged on this as they see the numbers go down? Will more people think, okay, well, we've solved this thing?
That's what we have to fight against. We made a huge mistake as a state, and especially with our state government in opening up and letting up too early, or earlier this year. Look, it's unquestionably good. We are going back now to being the place known for the Grand Canyon and chimichangas and beautiful sunsets, as opposed to the place that has the worst record on COVID of any place on the planet Earth. That is amazing. We have to learn the lessons of what happened last time. And Matt is right. Mask wearing is incredibly important. I'm glad Governor Ducey finally ended up lifting the ban that he had on cities doing the right thing and having their own ordinances around mask wearing. We need to have state government setting the right example and keeping up the pressure in terms of leadership around saying this is still a crisis. And while we're taking prudent steps, they have to be steps that are commensurate with the fact that this is something that can just as easily pop back up again.
Matt, we heard from Dr. Crist just a moment ago about the hotline and the website that the state has set up for complaints if there are businesses that are not following the rules. How do you see the enforcement of this going? I mean, do you expect Arizonans to sort of rat out folks who aren't doing the right thing here?
Well, I think anybody who's been on Nextdoor.com is familiar with people ratting each other out. So, no, I don't think Arizonans will have any difficulty ratting each other out. I think the bigger question is the enforcement itself. And I would expect the state and some of these localities to take a stricter approach to cracking down on, in particular, bars and restaurants and clubs and things of that nature if they are running afoul of the rules.
Andre, could you see liquor licenses being lost or other licenses being taken away for some time if businesses aren't following the rules?
I hope so. These rules aren't here to annoy people. They're not here to inconvenience folks. You wouldn't think that if somebody was running through a red light and you reported their license plate to the police, so that's ratting them out. This is about protecting people's lives. These are people die if we don't take these kinds of steps. So we can't think of it as ratting out. We have to think about what are we doing to enforce the rules that are going to keep Arizonans safe and alive and allow our economy to open back up. This is incredibly important.
Guys, I want to move on to the Republican National Convention, a big four-day event, sort of virtual, sort of remote, but more people on hand than the Democrats had because the president wanted to hold this at the White House. Andre, I'm going to go to you first as the Democrat, in part, though, because of your time working for a White House. Some people are going back and forth as to how appropriate last night was or not. We can go over that a little bit if we want. But the big question for me is, I was thinking back to years ago, and we were all much younger, when Ronald Reagan was running for re-election, and it definitely seemed at least much more of a positive vein. And it seems like most incumbents would do that, considering they've been the ones in the White House for the past 3.5 to 4 years. President Trump and some of his supporters, I talked with Kelly Ward this week, are going to say that this was an optimistic approach. Other viewers will say not so much. Even though we know President Trump is unique, is it odd that this is not a positive approach as many incumbents would do as they're running for re-election?
Well, I think you play the heart, that you play the hand that you're dealt or the one that you've dealt for yourself. And it's pretty hard for Donald Trump to run on a shining city on a hill when he's been presiding over and in many cases responsible for a very dark part of town that we're living in right now in terms of what's going on in America. And the fact, though, is that they are playing the hand that they're dealing with right now. And my sense is that this convention might end up being something that in the public mind has been really effective. Look, I am very strongly of the belief we need to get Donald Trump out of the White House, and him being reelected for another term would be an enormous danger to American democracy and our way of life. But just from a purely political standpoint, they are trying to paint Democrats into a corner. And Democrats have to make sure that we don't allow ourselves to get painted in that corner. Look, most people out there are incredibly distraught over seeing a black man shot 8 times in his back in front of his children. But at the same time, they also think most police officers are good people who are trying to do a good job protecting us. People are excited to see people of all walks of life and all races coming together to stand up for racial justice, and very much do not want to be seeing looting and rioting and arson. They want to be seeing a country where we are not allowing families to be broken up at the border. We're not having children in cages, but still believe that we should be enforcing our borders as the United States of America. Joe Biden won the primary because he represented not a detour towards socialism, but a mainstream brand of being a Democrat. And Democrats cannot allow Donald Trump, with a whole pack of lies and a whole pack of misstatements, to try to make us into something that we're not.
Matt, as Andre alluded to, from a purely political standpoint, do you believe the convention was effective? Did it do what the Trump campaign and the Republicans needed it and wanted it to do?
Oh, absolutely. Look, I'll premise my remarks by saying I am not a Trump guy, okay? I am not a Trump supporter. But that was an incredibly effective convention and an exceptionally potent mix of messaging. Andre hits the nail on the head. The RNC and the Trump re-election campaign have wrapped themselves tightly around the American dream and the idea of American exceptionalism, and they brought to the fore a whole range of voices of Cuban refugee and people of color who've succeeded and built small businesses, and you name it, and they brought to the American people, and they talked about what makes this country great. And I think the pitfall that the Democrats have fallen into, this goes back to what the Democrats dealt with 2 decades ago, in the early 2000s when they were cast as the Blame America First party. And we're back to that again because Democrats have fallen into the trap of talking about America as being founded on racism and rotten from its core, rotten from its founding. And those are messages that are just gonna flop with your mainstream general election voter in November. And Trump knows it. And I think you're starting to see the Democrats panic because they recognize that they have made a strategic error here and they're desperately trying to get out of that corner.
Matt, brief follow-up though. Can Democrats counter that with what Andre was saying about Joe Biden? We can say he's not the most forceful personality, but he does have a record of not exactly being a flaming liberal.
Well, you're right. Joe Biden is not the most he is not the most radical presence in the world. Unfortunately, because of what this campaign has become, and because Joe Biden has chosen to really be on, he's not out front. He's not all over the country talking about his agenda. He has, in many cases, kind of let this campaign. He's playing prevent defense, to use a sports analogy, because his campaign and his strategists have thought he was so far ahead, just let Trump destroy himself. And surprise, surprise, Trump didn't destroy himself this week. That speech last night was incredibly effective. And the images of dysfunction and destruction in American cities all over this country, American cities run by Democrats, is something that the Republicans are going to run on for the next 2.5 months.
Andre, briefly before we go to break, how do Democrats talk about some of the problems that are happening in the country right now without making it, as Matt suggested, a situation where they're blaming America or seeming to be, as the president has called them at times, anti-American?
I don't think it's especially complicated. I think you talk about these problems in the vein of how Americans have risen up against challenges over our history and how we've gotten better and how we've made a more perfect union. And that's the genius of America. That's the amazing thing about America is that we can get better when it comes to things like racial justice. We can rise to challenges, whether it was the Great Depression or World War II or any of the other amazing parts of American history. That's what Democrats have done. That's what Bill Clinton talked about. That's what Barack Obama talked about. That's first of all, what Democrats stand for. And second of all, that's how Democrats win elections, by speaking to the better angels of our nature as opposed to our darkest demons, which is what the Donald Trump campaign is doing. But if we're not doing that, then we're letting them set the agenda and we're letting them define us. You're right, and Matt's right. Joe Biden is not a flaming liberal. That's why he won that primary and not Bernie Sanders or many of the others. But Michael Dukakis wasn't a flaming liberal either. Walter Mondale, these were mainstream Democrats, but they didn't stand up against the kinds of messaging that was coming out their way, and they didn't define themselves. And Joe Biden has to step forward and say, here's who I am, here's what I stand for, and here, just as importantly, is what I will not stand for. And we're judged by being able to not just speak to our friends, but tell our friends and our own family the hard truths and the things that they don't want to hear. That's what leadership is about. That's what presidential leadership is about in the best sense. It's certainly not what Donald Trump has done, but it is what Joe Biden has to be able to do.
Okay. Andre Cherney, also here with us is Matt Benson with Mark Brody in Phoenix. I'm Steve Goldstein. It's the Friday Newscap, which continues after this. It's the Friday Newscap on KJZZ with Mark Brody. I'm Steve Goldstein. Our guest today, Andre Cherney, former chair of the Arizona Democratic Party, and Matt Benson of Veritas. Guys, one thing I want to get to with the convention, Matt, let me go to you on this. In talking to Kelly Ward earlier this week, she was telling me that she thought it was good that former President Bush wasn't there, that Mitt Romney wasn't there. Is that part of the Trump strategy to say, is this part of the old, saying somewhat facetiously here, burn the institutions down and we don't want to see some of these former politicians. Is that effective for him? How will more traditional Republicans, independents, see that?
Oh, I don't think it makes a lot of difference one way or the other. I mean, I disagree with Kelly Ward in terms of, you know, would Trump have liked, you know, former President Bush to have been there? Of course. Why would you not? Mitt Romney, I mean, the convention is about building the biggest tent that you possibly can. It's why the Democrats trotted out some Republicans who were supporting Biden at their convention. It's why Trump trotted out a former Democrat, now Republican congressman, to speak last night. So I disagree with what she's trying to say, but I don't think it makes a ton of difference for your typical voter.
Matt, let me ask you about Governor Ducey, who was at the convention last night at the acceptance speech on the lawn of the White House, tweeted out a few photos of himself wearing masks. There were some tweets later on, some photos that showed him not wearing masks. A lot of folks in attendance were not wearing masks there. Just politically, I mean, does that matter for the governor? Obviously, he's not up for re-election for his current job at all because he's term limited out. But does it matter that there are photos of him online last night not wearing a mask?
I don't think it matters politically. You could argue that, you know, it sends sort of a muddled message public health wise. But look, I tire of the media shaming around, you know, he's wearing a mask. No, he's not wearing a mask. And now he's wearing a mask. I mean, they were outside. All of the evidence suggests that if you're outside, the risks of transmission are significantly reduced. So I don't expect last night's event to turn into some sort of a super spreader, but I guess we'll see.
Andre, briefly, I mean, obviously we don't know. Maybe he had just taken a drink of water. We have no idea what the context was when those photos were taken, but maybe from a public health perspective, as Matt suggested, does it hurt the message talking about earlier with the fact that Arizonans have largely been wearing masks, helping drive our COVID numbers down?
I think it absolutely hurts the message. I agree it probably doesn't hurt him politically, but this is not a question of politics. This is a question of public health leadership and of moral leadership. I think it hurts him on those state on those fronts. What I said before, what you said, what Matt said before is exactly right. People need to be wearing masks. And as important as it is to have a special website or laws or taking away people's liquor licenses, part of government's role and part of a governor's role is to be a leader by persuasion and setting a public example. And message that's sent when you're sitting not 6 feet away, but shoulder to shoulder with a whole bunch of people in Washington, D.C. that says, you know what? Yeah, wear a mask sometimes, but if you don't wear a mask, it's actually not that big of a deal. And yes, it's outside, but you know, look, so was the Sturgis rally with bikers, and that turned into a big spider event. So this is important, and it does send exactly the wrong message when it's so important to send the right message.
Andre, a few people who would not have been at the Republican National Convention, probably even if it were a normal convention, folks like Jeff Flake, Jim Colby, Grant Woods, who's not even a Republican anymore, but they came out and a lot of other groups coming out announcing support for Biden over Trump. Does that matter that many Republicans and groups like the Lincoln Project are attacking the president from the Republican wing as well? Does ultimately that make any difference? It's great copy for us. I enjoy talking about it, but does it matter?
I think it could matter. It could matter because, you know, it's not accurate to say that somebody like Jeff Flake or Jim Colby wouldn't be at the Republican convention were not for Donald Trump. These are mainstream Republicans. Jim Colby was proud. He endorsed me when I ran for treasurer 10 years ago, but I was the first Democrat he had ever endorsed at the time, and he's mostly endorsed Republicans since then. And obviously Jeff Flake very much the mainstream of the Arizona Republican Party. So many of John McCain's closest supporters and staff members stepping forward to say that they're still Republicans, but that is not the brand of conservatism that they signed up for. I think it could matter if it's communicated to some of these Republicans who in effect need to be given permission to say, okay, I am a Republican, but this is where I get off the boat. And this is where I say I just can't keep on going down this road. And the effectiveness of that communication is really what's going to matter.
Matt, where does this land for you? Does this fall under the endorsements where signs say so-and-so endorsed and it really doesn't have impact, or could it?
I don't think it has a big impact. I mean, clearly, Democrats want to paint the image of Republicans fleeing the Trump campaign. I don't think the poll numbers bear that out. Trump has, if nothing else, exceptionally strong support among Republicans. But it's an optics thing. And, you know, I'll just tag on to this. The optics that are going to matter from yesterday's convention, it's going to be the images and the video that is all over social media and cable news today of RNC attendees, old men, old women, a member of Congress and veteran with prosthetic legs walking out of that convention and being accosted in the street by mobs and flipped off and shouted at and a police officer assaulted. Those images, that's what's going to stick with people. That's the problem the Democrats have today. This stuff about, you know, this Republican endorsed Biden or that one did, I think is going to be noise in the grand scheme of things.
Matt, let me ask you in the couple minutes we have left about one of the other, if not the other, big stories of the week, which is that a number of sports teams and leagues postponed games this week. The Diamondbacks yesterday postponed their game over concerns about racial justice after the shooting of a black man in Wisconsin. I'm curious, since we're talking politics, in the political sphere here, where does this fall for you in terms of the impact that it might have and the types of conversations that are coming out of this?
I hope it's productive. I think sports obviously is a tremendously minor concern, even playoff sports for hockey fans and basketball fans, compared to what's going on in terms of race in this country. I don't believe we've ever seen each of the major sports leagues simultaneously step away at the same time like they have with this. I hope it leads to positive conversations and is productive. But we're just going to have to wait and see on that because, you know, we've been wrestling with race in this country since our founding.
Andre, do you get the sense that sports and athletes and coaches can be agents of change here?
I think they can be. People look up to those figures and they listen to them. This is not children's playtime. This is not kids playing with a Barbie doll or with a flash action figure or something like that. This is a big business. And these sports teams and the impact they have on communities around the country is enormous. And when you see somebody like Doc Rivers make such an impassioned plea and you see some of these other people speaking out in ways that are really personal and really moving. I think so many of the people who do pay attention to what these individuals are saying, what these athletes and others on these teams are saying, they're going to be listening to it with open ears in a way that they may not listen to it if those same words were coming out of the mouth of a politician.
Yeah, guys, just a few seconds left. So basically just a yes or no. Andre, to you first. Do you see the president weaponizing this as he did the Colin Kaepernick situation?
I don't think so. I think Colin Kaepernick was one individual and I think the debate and the conversation has moved substantially over the past few years. So I think it's really hard to weaponize something like this at this point.
And Matt, to you on that?
I agree with Andre. He's not. This is not his best ammunition at this point. He's got other stuff to use.
Matt Benson of Veritas, Andre Cherney, former chair of the Arizona Democratic Party. Guys, thanks and stay well. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.